You know, I see people saying level up, you know, or just when you think about our life and we get one shot and like we want to do the best that we can, I think that the nutrition, health, and finance all goes hand in hand.
Welcome to the show where we help you make smart nutrition simple. If you want proven nutrition strategies to help you build a better body and create the energy to show up for your family without overly restrictive and unrealistic dieting, then you're in the right place. Make sure to subscribe and enjoy this episode.
Welcome to another episode of the Smart Nutrition Made Simple Show. I am your host, as always, Ben Brown, owner and CEO of Body Systems, a one-on-one nutrition and fitness coaching company that helps you change your belief system around what it means to be healthy, because we believe that your health determines your freedom. Today on the show, I chat with my buddy Thanasi Panagiotokopoulos. Thanasi is a former professional basketball player and Body Systems client alumni. He's also the founder and president of Life Managed, a fee-only fiduciary, independent, privately owned financial planning and investment management firm here in Phoenix, Arizona. And in today's conversation, we dive into the myriad of similarities between keeping your body in peak physical condition and keeping your finances in the green. We discuss compound interest and how small, consistent efforts in either fitness or savings can lead to substantial gains over time. We talk about the principle of delayed gratification, explaining why the most significant results in health and wealth are reserved for those who wait and persist, and the importance of budgeting to drive awareness, whether it's tracking your calories or tracking your cash. Thanasi and I also touch on the challenges that come with transitioning from a professional athletic career to corporate America, as well as his biggest hurdles navigating the dynamics of growing up in a Greek family where the European lifestyle of late nights and general food portions at gatherings is the norm. If you've ever wondered how to leverage your discipline and skills from fitness to bolster your financial future or vice versa, then this episode is for you. Because if you can master your nutrition and fitness, you've already got the foundational tools to improve your financial health. So whether you're looking to get shredded, save for that dream European vacation, or both, buckle up, because this conversation might just change the way that you approach your goals. So without further ado, let's jump into my conversation with Thanasi P.
Thanasi, welcome to the Smart Nutrition Made Simple Show. What's going on, brother?
Oh, not much. I'm proud to say that I worked out before our podcast today.
Did you feel like a little bit of pressure to make sure that you had done that per our conversation?
Yeah, exactly. Wanted to, good. You know, the last 3 days I've been crash dieting. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, you know how we roll around here at Body Systems. Yeah, we fully support the aggressive exercise and overly restrictive diet mentality. So
exactly.
Dude, super excited to have you on the show. This is a little bit different framework for us. Normally I'm interviewing experts in the field of nutrition and fitness and supplementation and all of that kind of stuff. And like I said, we're taking a little bit different spin. Now you are, and I'd love to get just a little bit of background for our listeners, but you know, you're a former professional athlete. You're a former client of ours, just a generally great dude, husband, father, business owner, and financial planner. And, you know, time and time again in our conversations, whenever we hang out and speak, we're always talking about the correlations between kind of financial planning and planning for our future and setting the stage for our fitness and nutrition success. And so, you know, we had established that it really would make a lot of sense just to have a formal conversation around this to be able to share with our listeners, first and foremost, because I think that it's easy for our listeners to feel perhaps like when it's experts speaking, that maybe we have it all figured out. And obviously we've been kind of under tension for and have enough reps under the bar that it's gotten to a point where it's easier for us than perhaps it is for general population. And that's where bringing in someone like you that, you know, fully understands the process here, you've been through this yourself. I really want to talk about some of the, you know, nuances of the training, nutrition, how it's applied to you, your lifestyle, and then how we can kind of compare and contrast that to kind of our financial planning future.
Yeah, no, agreed. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to chat today.
Yeah, dude. So I guess just a quick background so people know who you are.
Yeah, so Thanasi Panayotokopoulos, obviously Greek. My family is my dad immigrated from Greece and started a business in Phoenix, longtime Italian restaurant, Christo's Ristorante. So I'm born and raised Phoenix, went to Brophy, and then was lucky to play college basketball at Northern Colorado, and then played in Europe and Greece. And so got to, live the dream. I always wanted to be I always said I wanted to be in the NBA, but so at least got to play some form of professional basketball. And then moved back and got into financial services and been doing this since 2010. Started my career at Wells Fargo. Advisors realized really quickly didn't want to work for a public company, let alone a bank, and led me to my journey to start Life Managed. So we're a fee-only fiduciary, independent, privately owned financial planning and investment management firm. And we work with a lot of the similar people that you do, right? Ambitious people that do want to do better and just need some help and guidance and coaching.
Yeah, most definitely. So, what were kind of some of the observations or experiences that you had going from high level athletics into, the real world of, the professional world into kind of starting your own business? What are some of the struggles that you experienced along the way, having been an athlete and then kind of coming to the realization around perhaps it was harder than, just to maintain your level of fitness or, what did you experience there?
It's funny you think about someone like Charles Barkley, right? He always talks about it going from working out every day and all that. And then,
Yeah.
you're not playing. So it's a huge adjustment from the level of exercise. And you're not necessarily, you're eating well, but you're not really thinking about what you're eating. You're just doing so much exercise that you're staying in shape, right? And then you flip-flop and now you're like working all day, right? You're sitting at a desk. More sedentary lifestyle, and we make it. I was just making tons of excuses for, hey, I'm being social. I'm taking people to dinner, happy
Right.
hours, breakfast, lunches, etc. It's a huge transition, but ultimately, from the professional standpoint, with being an athlete, it's just all about competing, right? And so, if you're willing and able to compete, then we can do anything.
Yeah, I think that that's a really, that's certainly a recurring theme that we have plenty of conversations with our clients around because they're all high performers like you. And, there's certain expectations at play around obviously feeling like they need to entertain, feeling like they want and deserve to eat out, feeling like they deserve to reap the benefits of their hard work over the years that they want to treat their family and their community to, these more extravagant meals and obviously, that comes at a price. Where was sort of the tipping point for you in your kind of realization around maybe I'm letting this get too far? How have you been able to try and prioritize your health and fitness amongst this, amongst your profession and sort of perceived responsibilities?
Yeah, I mean, well, the biggest one was getting older, right? And then realizing like it's getting harder. And then in tandem with that was, I mean, I am the poster child of the people that try everything before they come to you to kind of say, hey, here's just kind of the basic system. Classic, yo-yo dieter, low fat, high protein, keto, did it all and then had like a really big health scare and had a complicated case of diverticulitis, which kind of made me wake up and say, like, what am I putting in my body? Why is this happening to me? And had to end up getting an elective surgery to like, cut part of my intestine out, right? And that was the biggest wake up call. And I got in great shape. After that, a lot of it was forced because I
Yeah,
was
right.
limited to certain foods. And it was when I related my health in that current state, like I can't eat this because I know what's going to happen if I do. it was a lot easier and got like really, you know, got in some of the best shape of my life. And then, of course, kind of the old behavior, I'm like feeling back to normal. I can do everything, you know, got back to, you know, eating the things I shouldn't eat, you know, day in, day out, kind of, oh, I'm looking good and feeling good. Then you get out of the daily workout routine and then 7-8 weeks go by like, oh, right. My God, what did I just do? You right. know, so I think it's like just being just like enough is enough. And that's when, you know, just trying to be more mindful and intentional. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. And man, just, you know, when I think to kind of the financial planning sphere, I think we're on the opposite ends, you know, in full transparency. Like I genuinely feel like we're on the opposite ends because I feel like I go through literally the exact same things in my personal finances, right?
Right.
Like right. I'll do good for a while and then I'll blow it and, you know, kind of I'll save for a bit and then I feel like I'm doing such a good job and then we'll go on an extravagant trip or I, you know, justify it as something that I deserve and what have you. And so, you know, what do you feel at this point? Because you seem like you're in a really good position. And listen, this is always a work in progress, right? But you seem like you're in, after all of these trials and tribulations, right, throughout your life thus far, and you seem like you're in generally pretty good position around your health and fitness. You've got a good idea of what you want, what you're willing to sacrifice to get it, what you're not willing to sacrifice, which I also think is one of the most important aspects. And so, you know, what do you think the discussion looks like around the fundamental similarities around our health and fitness and kind of our financial future?
I like the complete opposite. So the one thing that I always think about is, at least this was an excuse I made in my head, was do we as humans have enough energy to be so disciplined in both arenas? And maybe that was a rhetoric that I had because I knew I was good at the finances.
Right.
And
right,
it was totally. Like, God, I'm already depriving myself of certain life experiences because I have an end goal with my money and understand opportunity costs. I don't have enough energy to also do that with like my food and going out and cooking, you know, things that are not the right macronutrients, right? And so I have thought a lot about that and maybe the idea would be just that balance, right? And I feel like it always goes back to the balance of it doesn't have to be completely extreme in both scenarios where we don't have to save every penny and nickel, just like we don't have to be restrictive in right. the calories. And maybe I think what I discovered in my process with you guys was, you know, you get hyped up. I was super ambitious. I'm like, I'm going to get ripped again, like I was when right. I was an athlete, right? right? With like 5% body fat, and I'm going to do it. And then as I'm having my coaching calls with Coach Joey and I'm talking through things, like what I discovered was, yeah, I mean, I think I just want to be healthy and be in shape to play with my kids and have longevity. And maybe I don't need to be 100% optimized, you know, at its fullest level to be quote unquote ripped. I just don't right. want to be unhealthy. And just yeah. try the same thing with money, right? Like maybe it's okay to take those extravagant vacations as long as whatever minimum savings goals to reach your minimum, you know, financial readiness at whatever age that is, as long as that's being hit, then the rest is just gravy. So it's like, well, let's enjoy today then, right? Because I know I'm still okay.
Yeah, most definitely. And kind of one of the things I really heard you say and that resonated is that I think a lot of people feel like they have to live on one end of the spectrum.
Right.
Right. And for me, financially, it's like, well, if I'm not saving every penny, you know, why bother? And, you know, I'm doing so well in other areas of my life that, you know what, I'll figure it out along the way. And it's really just me rationalizing the fact that I just don't have a plan. Right. And it's easier for me to kind of just put it off and not worry about it and to focus the things that I'm good at than to acknowledge that I really need to learn. I really need to develop the skills. I really need to get uncomfortable diving into the things, basically my blind spots of just not knowing what I don't know and working with someone like you and working with someone who can educate me around, listen, man, first and foremost is let's just establish some awareness around like how are you spending your money? If and what are you saving? And what do you want your future to look like? Because you don't have to be a multimillionaire to live very comfortably for the rest of your life and to be able to support your family. But you also need to take responsibility and acknowledge you better start saving something at this point in your life, or else you're going to be working for a really, really long time. Right. So I know what I don't want. I feel like I know what I want, but I don't have a clear path to get there. And I think that's one of the main kind of similarities here is sort of this like budgeting process, this planning, this preparation process of acknowledging where's the money coming in, how's it coming out? And it's the same thing from a calorie standpoint. It's like, dude, let's just help you acknowledge, like, it's cool. Like, you don't have to be 5% body fat and performing like you did at the college, the Nasi, you know, did, but we still need a plan to make sure that you're living the healthiest life possible.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. I think that the awareness, like that's the biggest similarity. Just like your first step was just start recording what you eat, right? And it's like to understand what are you eating? And that's our exact first step is, hey, get this old school Excel budget that I literally use for my own family because it has a lot of the categories where money goes in a modern day for a modern family with all of the distractions out there, you know, and just identify, no shame, no guilt, like just, hey, where does it go? So that awareness exercise on the budget is to say, because you can't start a financial plan without saying, where are you today? What does the Brown family monthly living expense, like what does it cost to be you? And that's the same thing that we did, right? Is like, what does the Nasi's diet look like today? Because then your coach can say, well, yeah, you can't eat those things, or hey, you're doing great on these items, but let's tone back here based on the goals you're telling me, right? Because the only reason that I would be in the program is because I actually want to achieve some goal. And it's the same with the finances, is you're telling me that you want to be financially independent, right, by a certain date. And it starts today with those decisions. Same as, you know, if we allow the unhealthy decisions for a long time, then there could be something that could have been prevented. And then there's no going back. Same thing when we hear people tell us they wish they started earlier.
Yeah,
all the time, right? The compound interest, if you start early, 10, 20, 30 years, probably the same with building muscle and making healthy decisions today.
Always. It's always, I wish I started, you know, earlier. And you know what they say is like, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. Second best time is today, right? Today. And so I just see the benefit of affording people the opportunity to again be aware of what they're doing. Because if I know I have a financial plan, if I know how things are coming in and how I'm spending things, then I can make informed decisions around whether I want to commit to doing something or not. And it's on me. It's not on you as my financial planner to say you can't do this. You can only do this. If you're not saving, I'm going to make you feel bad about it. It's like, that's not what it's about. It's about empowering me with those tools to make the decisions. Then if I do, great. If I don't, great, because it will be a learning opportunity for then I have to jump on a call with you and say, well, here was our plan. What happened?
Right.
And it's a great learning opportunity to be like, yeah, I definitely, we were either too aggressive or it seemed reasonable, but I just, you know, didn't commit to it and allowed certain things to get in the way, in which case, okay, cool. So how are we going to adjust that? How are things going to look differently? And I think it's the exact same around obviously nutrition and fitness. I'm curious, given your time with us, you come from a Greek family. You guys love to eat. You love to socialize, which I think is beautiful and a huge missing component of what we consider to be healthy, right? Nutrition, in our present day kind of lifestyle and diet goals. What were some of the challenges that you experienced with kind of discipline, with consistency, with the budget planning, if you will, around nutrition, just being a regular dude, because this is what all people experience.
So the other thing that comes with being Greek is like a night owl syndrome.
Okay.
I mean, everything, like, if, and that's just a general, a European thing, things happen totally later, right? Like if you go to Greece, people aren't at dinner at 6 p.m., right? Yeah. They're like waking up from a nap, you know, or they're having a coffee at home at 6 p.m. so that then they can get ready for like the next half of their day.
Right.
And,
right.
And so that has, we've always just been late. And so I think one of the biggest struggles is staying up too late. And so then, you know, what happens, like if you're not asleep by 9 o'clock and then it's 9:30, it's 10, it's 10:30. What do? You get hungry again. Or yes. or you tell yourself you're hungry, right? So I think one of the big, the hardest things was from a culture trait was that, you know, just being up late and trying to get to bed earlier, because then if you go to bed earlier, then you don't even have the, you don't even have to be disciplined and try to like trick yourself that you don't want something out of the pantry at 10:30 or 11. Cause I don't know if it's for everyone, but for me, things just taste better after 10 PM. And then also, yes, I mean, on the social gatherings, I actually have been reflecting on that, and we don't, like, we make lean proteins.
Yeah.
Like we eat meat, right? Which is good. Right. I think it's just a volume issue. We just, if there's 10 of us, we cook for 20 people, not for 10. You know, yeah. We're like, you know, we don't cook for 8 when there's 10 of us, we cook for 20. And I think that that's always been the biggest adjustment, is when we are, we have this weird fear that everyone won't be properly satisfied, and we over prepare, and then we don't want to waste food. So I think one of the biggest is like, let's make sure that we make the appropriate amount of food, because we actually make the right foods, vegetables, salads, you know, olive oil, grilled right. meats, grilled fishes, like we eat the right things. I think I just eat 2 times the amount, and then, you know, top it off with a dessert. And that's kind of the killer. And then throw in a couple glasses of wine before you know it.
Well,
out of control on a family gathering, and you do it two nights a week.
Yeah. And by the way, I mean, you know, coming from a Jewish background, like we're the same. Right?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
It's never enough food. We're going to be short.
Yeah.
Right. And so it always invariably becomes way too much, and you end up overeating. And then you definitely hit the nail on the head around eating too late, and then sacrificing sleep and too many calories later in the day. And we've talked ad nauseum on this podcast around some of the negative implications of that on our circadian rhythms. Hey guys, I want to interrupt this conversation briefly with an exciting announcement. If you're a father and struggling to lose the pounds that have crept on over the years, I understand your challenge. You're juggling a successful career, a loving family, and now you're looking to regain that energy and physique that seems to have slipped away. And that's exactly why I created PrimeFit Operating System. PrimeFit OS is a unique hybrid coaching program designed specifically for men like you. Now, you guys know me, we're not about quick fixes or impossible routines. Instead, we focus on real sustainable change through personalized nutrition and science-driven strength training, all wrapped up in a supportive community with expert guidance directly from me and my 20 years of experience working with men just like you. Imagine mastering your nutrition without restrictive dieting, getting stronger and leaner, and boosting your overall energy, all without overwhelming your already busy schedule. With PrimeFit OS, you're getting more than just a cookie-cutter nutrition and fitness plan. You're embarking on a transformative journey that fits into your life, not the other way around. So, if you're ready to take the first step towards a healthier, leaner, stronger, more energetic, confident, ass-kicking you, join us over at PrimeFit Operating System. Trust me, guys, your family, your career, and most importantly, you will thank you for it. So if you guys are interested in getting started and want to find out more about the program, let's chat. Just head over to primefitos.com/call and grab a time on my calendar. Remember, it's your time to be at your prime. When we look at the similarities here between nutrition and financial planning and some of the common obstacles that people experience, that you experience through the program, that I know I experience with my financial management, when we look at like long-term versus short-term gratification, How do you think about that, you know, in your profession?
Yeah, it's so hard, right? It's so, and you know, it's so difficult. And right, because you're an expert and you're also an image of what you preach, right? Like, you know, you do everything right, fitness and nutrition wise, and you can see it. Like for me, you can't necessarily see my balance sheet, but like I practice what I preach. And because I know it, live and breathe it, it's easy. But educating, you know, your client or educating people on that short-term versus long-term delayed gratification, it's such a big behavioral trait, right? Like some people are just capable of delaying gratification.
Yes.
And then I kind of look at it twice just because I know myself. And that's, you know, I always ask you is like, what is truly harder? Is it just depend on the individual? Is it harder to delay gratification, like buying a new car or a new TV or like waiting 2 more years to take a European trip when you've always wanted to do it to make sure you're where you need to be? Or is it actually harder to like meal prep, cook, think about that, make the good decisions? Like, do you think that it depends on the person, or in all your conversations with people, do you believe one is blatantly more difficult than the other?
Yeah, that's such a good thought point. And I think first and foremost is I think the perception that, like, as you said, I'm doing everything right. Like, what does that even mean? I think that there's this perception that things have to be more complicated than what they actually are. And fundamentally, I think it just comes down to our decision-making processes of establishing, okay, what's actually worth it in the moment relative to the long-term goals, and acknowledging like not everything is going to be worth it, but we can absolutely establish some level of gratification. Like for me to say, I'm never going to eat sugar, I'm never going to drink alcohol, like that would be ridiculous. And for me to tell anyone that they can't accomplish their goals would be ridiculous. Same thing of like you telling someone like, never buy a Starbucks and say, you know, pay for everything in cash and never use credit and all this, right? Silly things. So I think that the perception of what we think we need to do can often get skewed. And that's where it's about just infusing a certain level of education, but also, you know, the understanding of like, dude, these daily decisions really compound. And for me, on my end of the spectrum, when you mention like a European vacation, the way I think about it, which I know is flawed, and perhaps the way people think about it the other way, is like, well, YOLO, right? And, you know, I'll figure it out, because when else are we going to have the opportunity to do this? And is it the most responsible thing? Definitely not. You know, what I will say is that I think when it comes to kind of financial planning, is like there definitely is a difference around what you can get away with perhaps financially, because I can always make more money, at least in my profession, relative to someone that has like a 9-to-5 versus, yeah, I can't go and have the European vacation of pigging out for weeks on end and feel like I can make that back. That might be considerably more detrimental. Does that make sense?
You know, that's what I'm trying to find is like, you know, I think I probably read it from something you've written before about, and you can't exercise your way out of the overeating hole, right? Yeah. So so maybe like when you think about prioritization or what's more difficult or what's more important, detrimental, if you do overspend, if you have the ability to go out earn someone because of what position or your business or if you get paid in sales, right? You got to go out hustle, right? And then you can make up that decision. I'm going to go make it back. Right. But what I'm hearing you say though, is that you can't just eat 5,000 calories and then just go burn extra and get that back.
That's
right. It's too hard. Right. And it's not, probably not good for our body. Right.
And I think that's perhaps maybe one of the mental hurdles that you experienced early on around feeling like, all right, well, you know, I've kind of, it's that all or nothing dichotomous thinking mindset of like, all right, I'm back on, I'm going to go hard. right? I'm going to crush it. I'll burn more calories. I'll do whatever I need to do. I'll cut out all the foods. And it doesn't serve us well. Inevitably, it won't be sustainable, and we'll end up saying screw it and going back to our old behavior. So it has to be that kind of behavioral change process.
Yeah, I'm curious how from the behavior, because I think the biggest linkage is behavior, right? And I think what you guys do great is having conversations. What are some of the tools or tricks to help people to, is it just simple conversation to remind them of their goals so that then they're self-motivating? Because there is such an intangibility to what I do in the, you know, when we go back to what your question was about near term, long term. In the near term, you sit down with someone, we say, hey, we've looked at your income, your expenses, what your goals are, and you need to save $7,000 a month. You know, yes. that's your number in order to achieve your goal in 5 years of, you know, buying a new house in Flagstaff, and then also making sure it doesn't, you know, take you off the path to optionality at age 60 with like, right. You'll be in a position if you don't want to work hard that you could stop. But if you still like work, then you'll be in a great position if you right. keep working. It's hard in the early days, like 7,000. Then they look at their investments and like, it hasn't really done anything. And to show them like you're laying the groundwork right. for the next, you know, 10, 20 years of a bull market, not today. Like, don't worry what it does today. Yours, I guess I think about when I'm on, which I don't like using that because this is a lifestyle, right? That's been my biggest thing is I have been an all or nothing and finding that balance and compromises. You can actually see it when you look at the scale. So like I do, what I like about your business is I know that day to day there's crazy fluctuations,
right.
But when you go through that chart and you get your daily weight, your weekly weight, and then you have a weekly average, like you can actually see results quicker. Do you find that that helps people stay more motivated? Or do you think it's like the same thing as like, well, shit, I saved 7,000, 3 months later, I've got $21,000 more dollars than I had last year on this path. How do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly what you're saying. And I think it without question helps people be more motivated when you can help them establish realistic expectations, right? And that's where, when I look at it, like initially, when I dive into, you know, financial planning, I look at it, I'm like, I have no idea how I'm going to end up, you know, at 55 or 60 being in a position where I'm stable, we're good, and I could feasibly stop working if I wanted to, right? That's the position I want to be in. Now, when I backtrack, it's, of course, just looking at that end goal is extremely daunting. But then working with someone like you and saying, okay, well, what are you currently making? What do you expect to make? And how much additional income do you anticipate making year after year? You know, what are your expenses? And we can really kind of hash out all of this stuff and then say, okay, so here's what you would need to do every single month on paper for that to become a reality. Does that feel realistic for you? And then all of a sudden it becomes, okay, like it might seem aggressive, but it's actually quite tangible, which makes me feel a lot better as opposed to having this pie in the sky number, no idea how we're going to get there, which is extremely daunting. And it almost removes me of the ability to focus on the day-to-day actions, right, that are going to get us there. Well, just to quick examples, like I had a conversation with one of our clients who's a dentist, you know, yesterday, and he's like, when are we going to start working towards the six pack? I'm like, bro, like we're working on tracking your calories. You're working on getting enough protein. You know, you're doing the fundamentals, the foundational stuff right now. This is the six pack plan. Like, do you tell a client, you know, that when they say like, I want to have perfect teeth, and they're not even flossing or brushing their teeth every single day? You know what I mean? It's like that.
It's a good analogy. It's like the same as ours. It's like, well, I want to start a business and like buy an Airbnb and invest in private equity. It's like, dude, let's save a little money so that then you can have the ability to separate what's liquid, illiquid, like how much risk can you bear? Like, let's lay the groundwork, right? It starts slow. Because that's what's tough is because what we do is so boring. Everyone,
Thank
it's
you.
boring.
Thank you. That
Yeah.
is it. That is it. It's not what people expect.
Yeah.
And that's where we have to acknowledge you have to be willing to just put in the same repetition, boring shit day after day. And then you are empowered to make the decisions, because when you show up and you say, hey, I want to get back to the best shape of my life, and we start taking you down that road and we lay out the expectations, and then we get to a certain point and you say, yeah, you know what? I'm actually feel really good where I'm at. And honestly, I just don't think the juice is worth the squeeze to say, I'm doing the things and I don't know that I'm willing to keep sacrificing, because of course there's always sacrifice involved. I want to keep taking my European vacations. You're like, okay, but you're not going to be done working at 60. You can go ahead and do that. And I respect that, but let's just be practical here.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's the, like, living within the framework of at least a minimum scenario. I think that that's what, you know, when I talk to you and I think about this on the health journey, and that's what I realized, right, is what's the, how much sacrifice for like the end, right? That carrot dangling, what is that? What is you actually ultimately after? And so when I think about my health journey, I look at what's the unknown is, okay, well, how much sacrifice is the minimum amount of sacrifice to make sure that I don't have too much belly fat, and that yeah. What does that actually translate into? Because that's the unknown.
Yeah.
There's so many things at play. I think on the money side, it's like, well, we know exactly what things
yeah.
cost. It's black and white. If you don't have X by a date Z, like, you will not do anything. And I think that's what sometimes yeah. when I think about money versus the health, kind of like, you know, I'm not 400 pounds. I'm, you know, 220, but I used to be 170. So obviously I'm not in that shape that I used to be, but how fearful should I be about, you know, not making quicker decisions? And like, what's the point where I am okay and I'm sacrificing just enough, but not too much.
Yeah.
That's like what our clients ask sometimes, like, I don't want to over sacrifice, then have a ton
right.
of money later that I don't need. I'm just giving it to my kids, but I could have taken a couple more trips and driven that's a right. nicer car. So that's what I look at with you is like, well, yeah, I'm probably not in it for me to get a six pack ever again. I'm not willing to get that crazy and lean and like make the sacrifices that I know are required. But like, if I'm like 205, but I am active, is that still a danger to my health? How do you right. evaluate that when you work with clients from a health perspective?
Well, that's, I mean, exactly the conversation is, you know, when we look at blood markers, when we talk about how they feel, you know, we're looking at both objective and subjective data. Now, obviously, we've got a great network of health practitioners and doctors that we work with to be able to monitor these things and just, you know, keep our eye on these biomarkers to say, okay, like, how are you doing? How do you feel? And if you feel great and you like feel like I look as good as I am, you know, willing to kind of do work for, then that's exactly where we want you to be. And to be fair, I do think it's a little more granular and black and white on the financial planning side. There's certain health factors that we just can't control for. Like,
we just don't know.
You know, I can't, yeah. like, if you get hit by a bus tomorrow, you know,
sure.
like, what are you going to do? And pending a global market meltdown, like, shit happens, right? But I think it's a little more linear in terms of financial planning. But at the end of the day, that is the proverbial question that we're asking is like, we know what you want, but what are you willing to sacrifice along the way? And I know for me, it's like, okay, I'm not willing to save every penny and sacrifice the experiences that I want to partake in with my family just to have this quote unquote stability when I'm 60 and I don't have a relationship with my kids. And what the fuck am I going to do with this money? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And I think everyone listening gets that. So I think it probably be a reasonable opportunity to kind of wrap things up. Any further advice, and I want to get a little more information about your existing business, but kind of anything else that perhaps we missed along the way that you were thinking about, have been thinking about, that might be and some tangible advice for our listeners, given the context of our conversation?
Yeah, I mean, I think just the general, I think if you're watching this and you're in a system like a Body Systems and you are actually care enough to do that, then it probably makes sense to care equally about your finances, right? And clearly that person would be capable of making the same sacrifices. And so when you think about, you know, I see people saying level up, you know, or just when you think about our life and we get one shot and like we want to do the best that we can, I think that the nutrition, health, and finance all goes hand in hand for that ultimate wellness and just being happy, right? Because then you're happy that, you know, you're not a job loss away from feeling too much stress or, you know, or you, if you hate your job and your career, that you're in a position that you can then have the option to be like, I'm not doing this anymore. And because I've saved and I have investments, like I don't need to eat shit from my boss anymore. I'm going to go somewhere else, right? Even if I don't have a job lined up. And so I think it's just kind of taking that extra step saying, well, I'm already recording my food and I'm looking at my step count and I'm looking at what my intake is and getting my workouts done. Well, why aren't I also looking at my finances at the same time? Because I'm, all of it kind of goes together.
It absolutely,
just embracing the commonality, right?
Extremely well spoken. I think with the recurring theme with the clients that we work with is just this ownership attitude, right? It's this growth-minded ownership mindset of knowing that we are in control of the outcome of the decisions that we make, right? And that's where we want to infuse with our clients this, again, this ownership attitude, but really helping our clients establish their own operating system for kind of how they're going to manage these fundamental principles day in and day out. And what's uncanny is when you take control over any area of your life and all areas of your life, especially health and fitness, especially finances, is it's Pandora's box around what is possible, right? What you have the ability to control for, to the degree that when you can be an owner of your health and fitness, when you can be an owner of your finances, then there's nothing that can stop you, right? You're in a position where you don't have to be a victim to your boss or to corporate America or to your social support system or to your family. And you are empowered to make decisions that work best for you and your value system. And so that's where we see this consistently with our clients is it's this evolution of leveraging and developing the skills to continue to become better and better at all of the facets of our life, controlling those facets of our life. But it's something that is extremely empowering through the process. At least those are certainly my observations.
Yeah, agreed. Agree with all that.
So Thanasi, dude, such a great conversation. I always love rapping with you. Where can people find out more about you and your business?
Sure. You guys can look me up on Instagram. It's at lifemanaged_. Our website, lifemanaged.com. And we do a pretty good job. If you sent us a message on Instagram, we'd get back to you immediately. It's me on the Instagram. So
yeah, it's great. And that's where I love following you because it's just uncanny, right? Like just the synergy and the anecdotes and the analogies around the way you share financial planning advice. And I literally could just change the copy, but the theme remains the same. And it's so true for nutrition, health, and fitness. And so that's why I knew we had to have this conversation. And I'm grateful for you and you sharing your wisdom and journey with our audience. So thank you, brother. Much love. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks. It's been fun.
Take care. We'll catch up soon.
All right. See ya.
Thank you so much for listening. And if you found this content valuable, here are four ways I can help you in your nutrition journey for free. 1, grab a free copy of my Fat Loss Fix Guide at fatlossfixguide.com. 2, join my free group at smartnutritionmadesimple.com. 3, subscribe to my YouTube channel at smartnutritionmadesimpletv.com. 4, Leave a 5-star rating and positive review so that we can gain access to more nutrition experts ready to share their knowledge with you and ultimately help more people make smart nutrition simple.